Spring Victory Church. How y'all doing? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Don't y'all have a lot to be thankful for? Hope it was a good time for you. Just want to mention one more time the Heart for the House campaign that we started 2 weeks ago. So this is the third week. We're going to receive an offering next week. And we have a problem here, and that is departments are growing, and especially our children's ministry. That's a good problem. We just have extra. I mean, that's good. That's what we want. The kingdom of God is expanding. Jesus said, go into all the world. So, you know, we're not, you know, it's not like, oh, that's terrible. No, that's good. But it presents needs. So we gave you this list. It's on the website. It's in your bulletin. More details. I won't go through all that again. But we're calling it a Heart for the House. We're asking you to pray, ask God what you can give over and above regular tithes and offering. And a sacrificial gift, just making a sacrificial offering at this time of the year, what you can sow into our own house, the house of God. And there's a list there, what it goes into, children's ministry, worship, facilities, different dream teams have said, we need this, we need that, it's good. And so that's the need. We've presented it to you and just asking you to pray and say, God, how can I participate? And that'll be next Sunday. So we've given you some time to think about it, plan, pray. Next Sunday, we're going to bring our offering. And then Sunday night at the Dream Team, at the Christmas party, we'll announce how much came in and what we're going to be able to do. Okay, so everybody, will you pray about that? All right, praise God. Pray and obey. So more information in your guide for that. Okay, today is part two of a series called If Only. If you need notes, raise your hand. Ushers will bring you some notes. Last week, it's a continuation of last week, If Only. I heard a lot of good comments about the message, spoke to a lot of people, because we tend to bring this statement into our life, and we want to deal with this from a Christian perspective, that we go through life saying, if only I hadn't have done this. If only I had, and it detours us from the call and the future that God has from our life if we continue to live in if only statements. If only. The devil loves to use if only thoughts to keep you from living in today and the now and what God has for you to do. You get stuck in the past. So we talked about mistakes. People make mistakes. We all have made mistakes. The mistakes create a mess. The mess creates regrets. And then we tend to get stuck in a perpetual state of regret, and it ruins your future. So we're talking about dealing with the mistakes. And I wanted to set you free last week and talk about, I want to reiterate it again today, that we have to make mistakes because that's the way God designed us. To make mistakes so that we could learn from the mistakes. God doesn't see the mistakes as a dead end. He sees them as a stepping stone to greatness. He's using our mistakes to change us, to make us better. I want you to just change your whole concept about the mistakes you've made in the past. The devil takes and beats you over the head with them, but if you bring them to God, God says, no, it's a stepping stone to greatness. And then the devil brings this unrealistic expectation on your life that you're not supposed to make mistakes. And I'm not encouraging you to make mistakes because I believe as we grow in God and learn from our mistakes, we make smaller mistakes, but we never stop making mistakes. I just want to tell you that. You're going to make mistakes, and it's even unrealistic today to think that you're never going to make a mistake for the rest of your life. No, it can't happen. We are people. We are fallible. God is perfect. He's never made a mistake, never will make a mistake, but I will never be God, and you will never be God. And he allowed us to be in this environment and to make mistakes, to learn from our mistakes so that we get better, so that we grow, so that we're humble, so we're teachable, we're malleable before God. Moses made mistakes, but God loved him because he was teachable from his mistakes. Every great man and woman of God in the Bible made mistakes, folks. You're in good company. It's okay to make mistakes. So that was part one. We want to go on from that. So we can't live in this perpetual state of regret. Got to break that because it will deter you. And we talked about last week how to turn regret into motivation. Remember I talked to you about Tim Tebow, how he took that loss, that stunning loss to an unranked team, and he said, you're never going to see us work so hard. And they never lost another game that season, took them all the way to the national championship. He took what could have been you know, that he could have took a different attitude. The whole team could have, oh, no, we're no good. We're not. No, and that's the same thing in our life. You turn it around, turn it into motivation. So today I want to talk about how to keep moving forward, and I want to move into this next area called relationships without regret. And that's the title of today's message. And I want to go back to something that I gave you months ago, the 7 characteristics of a healthy life. Here they are. I put additional copies in the back if anybody didn't get one, you're not familiar with that. Number one was enjoying your relationship with God. I love to look at these periodically and check out my life. 7 characteristics of a healthy life. You got to enjoy your relationship with God. Number 2, you got to embrace your uniqueness. Number 3, you have to feel empowered. Number 4, you have to have a sense of purpose. Number 5, you have to laugh more. Number 6, you develop life-giving relationships. And number 7, focus on others more than yourself. I only want to focus on 6 today. One of those 7, we're going to use that as a launching pad to what we're going to talk about this morning. Number 6, let's go back to it. Developing life-giving relationships by addressing hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. Now, here's the fact. You need to have relationships. That's the way God created us. We are not designed to be autonomous, independent, some little island. We're designed to have relationships, and relationships always get messy, always get ugly, always cause offenses, always cause hurts. Hello? Yes. See, and the devil puts you in this frame of mind that if everything doesn't just go perfect in your relationships, and you're all offended and hurt, and then you just want to give up on relationships. That's where the devil wants us, giving up on relationships. God says, no, I made them messy on purpose because you grow through the messiness of the relationships. It's learning how to deal with the messiness, and here it is right here, developing life-giving relationships by addressing hurts, they're going to come, wounds, they're going to come, and disappointments, it's going to come, they're going to come. It's all in how you deal with it. We live in this unreal world thinking that tomorrow, none of this will ever happen to me again. No. You're learning to deal with it in the right way, dealing with them as they occur. And this is how you develop life-giving relationships. Let's go back to our keynote verse, Romans 8:28. Everybody still with me? Yeah. Y'all look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Come on. As we know that in all things, and what's the original Greek meaning of that word? Thank you. All things, God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. In all things that happen, God's not working on the things. He's working on the you. And we're praying about the things, and God's praying about the us. In all things, God's working on us. When things happen, we pray, God, don't let ever happen this happen again. God's saying, no, I want you to learn how to deal with stuff. For your good. He's working for your good, not for your bad. For your good. He didn't say he'd fix the world. He said he'd fix you. Amen. That's on his heart every day. Fixing me. Fixing you. Helping me. Helping you. Deal with stuff. Ability to deal with the world. That's what he's working on. He's not fixing the world. He's fixing our ability to deal with it. To deal with imperfect people. Come on, isn't that so unrealistic to think that tomorrow everybody's going to be perfect? No, they're not. They're going to be as messed up tomorrow as they were yesterday. Hopefully we're growing. We're not as messed up. We're learning to deal with it. Deal with people that hurt you. The journey, here's a key point. The journey is as important as the destination. Now, we all have a destination in mind, right? Which is what? Heaven. A place of peace and joy and happiness. There's no pain, crying, dying, suffering, hurt, sickness, disease. Oh, man, isn't heaven going to be great? But we get to, here's the deal. We get this unrealistic expectation that we think somehow earth is going to become heaven. Now, we're supposed to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. But this will never be heaven. This is the journey to get to the destination. Sometimes we get mixed up and we're trying to make this the destination. No, this is the journey. Enjoy the journey. It'll all be worth it on the next leg of the journey. I look at life, our existence as human beings, as having 4 legs to a journey. This is the way I see it. I think the first leg of your journey was before you were created, you existed in the heart and mind of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? He planned, he saw this. Isn't that something to think about, that before he even formed the earth, he had you in mind? He knew when he was going to create you, what gifts, how you're going to look, where you're going to be, your parents, your family, you know, your calling, all that. You existed. Your first leg of your journey was in the mind of God. The second leg of your journey was when he chose to implant you in your mother's womb, to take that opportunity to create you. Boom! Life, spirit, pneuma, the breath of God came into you. Life began. The second leg of your journey, a 9-month journey in your mother's womb. And you know, if you've been around birth, children don't want to leave. They like that leg of their journey. It's like, whoa, what are these lights and these people, the mask and all? And then what do? They cry because they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave that leg of the journey. But you have to. You have to take the next leg, and that's where we are. We're all in leg three. Leg three of the journey. But the confusion comes in where this seems to be like everything. No, this is just the third leg. There's another leg of the journey. This leg lasts what? 70 maybe? 80 years? Less? Some number of years? But this is not the end. This is the third leg of the... We're moving into the fourth leg, which is... forever. That's an interesting concept. 9 months in your mother's womb, but you're destined to come out and come to the next leg. And now this is only so many years on the earth, but you're destined to come out, pass, slip through the veil, and go to the next leg. The next leg is forever. Forever. That's a long time. That's even hard to conceive. How does that work? I don't know, but that's what the Bible tells us. It's forever. And ever, the next leg doesn't end. And all this leg is preparation for that one. To be sure you go to the right place, first of all, and that we've made the right preparations. There's indications in Scripture that we will have some responsibilities. Yes, joy, peace, no more death and suffering, but we will have some responsibilities based on what we learned and what we achieved. And so we're preparing for the next leg of the journey, and God is working, that's what he said, all things together, not just for this life, but for that life, for eternity. So I want to ask you about leg three, where you're at, this leg of the journey. Do you have any goals? I mean, what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish, leg three? What do you want to accomplish? Don't be deceived into thinking life is about this earth. You're going to leave it all behind. If you can see it, you're not taking it with you. We should be thinking about using this leg to set things up for the next leg, not only for ourselves, but some other people in our lives and others around us, because there's two places that people go when they leave this leg to the fourth leg. There's a place that God has reserved where his presence is not, for people who don't want his presence. And by definition, it's a place that we call hell, where it's just a place of torment. I don't want anybody I know to go there. Then there's another place of eternal bliss and happiness and peace and joy and love in the presence of God. I want everybody that I know to go there. So, are you trying to have heaven now in leg three, or are you using the trials of earth to lay up treasure for leg four? What would you like to accomplish? What if, this is in your notes, what if God, here's some things to think about. What if God healed all my relationships? Would that make any difference in your life? Now, I know there are some relationships that cannot be healed. It's too late as far as repairing that. God will never violate a person's free will, so I understand that. So don't freak out over things that you can't control. But the question is, are there things that can be healed? What if God healed some relationships? He can't violate a person's free will, but he is a God of considerable changing power. Some relationships need to be healed. Some need to move on, but they need to be healed in your heart. They can't be repaired, but God can fix your heart so that you can move on. What if God showed us our purpose together? Just some things to think about. Goals for leg three of the journey. What if God showed us our purpose together? Do you have a purpose? Do we have purpose? You know, you have an individual purpose, but it's never accomplished alone. It can't be. That's the way God's made us. The gifts that he puts in people never operate fully by themselves. They operate in cooperation with other gifts. we work together. That's the way it works. He calls us like an eye. That's the example he gives, eye or ear. They don't exist by themselves. They exist with the other parts put together, a hand or a foot. They need each other. So what if God showed us our purpose together? Let's go back to Romans 8:28 for just a moment, look at it again in a different light. And we know that in all things, God works together for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So he didn't just love God, that's it. No, there's more to loving God. Those who love him, who've been called according to his. That's a big part of life, is living in your purpose. You'll be very frustrated, not just as a Christian, but even as a non-Christian, if you're not doing what you're created to do. Purpose is very important. It's integral to our being and our contentment, our happiness, our joy. It has to do with purpose. Everybody has a sense of purpose, and we want to know that we're making a difference in this world. A lot of people neglect this aspect of purpose or mission. Did you know you have a mission? God created you with a mission, something for you to do. And you might compare yourself to some, Billy Graham. Oh, because I'm not Billy Graham, I'm not going to do anything. No, you have your job to do. It's not insignificant. It works. We all work together. It takes all of us to accomplish the purposes of God. How about this? What if God used us to make a difference? What if God used us to make a difference? What if just making coffee on Sunday morning makes a difference? Parking cars in the morning. What if working on the soundboard makes a difference? What if working at the computer? What if being part of the, what if cutting the fruit? What if coming during the week? What if working in children? What if all this actually all works together to make a difference? Made a difference in a young man's life who's not here today. His name is Troy McKenzie. Probably a lot of you don't know him. He used to sit right over here. He's only been coming for about 4 weeks. He's 32 years old, and he passed away 2 days ago, unexpectedly. Remember I told you in the world 62,000 people die unexpectedly every day? I mean, we didn't know last week. I shook his hand at the door. He asked me a question. What a nice young, I didn't know that'd be the last time I'd shake his hand. I didn't know that'd be the last time I'd see him. But I'm very glad that some people were concerned. I love what God's doing in this family over here. You know, it started with one person, Vicky, and then it just, boom, hit the next person. And only 4 weeks ago, somebody obviously was concerned about Troy's life and brought him to a service 4 weeks ago. He came. Pastor Mike was preaching, and Pastor Mike gave the altar call. Troy raised his hand. He prayed the prayer. He made a change in his life. He gave his life to Christ. At that moment, he became born again. Christ washed away all his sins. We didn't know. They didn't know. Nobody said, oh, he's only got 4 weeks to live. We better do this. You don't know anybody on this planet. Nobody is promised tomorrow. I don't have tomorrow promised to me. You don't have tomorrow promised to you. Nobody does. We have to live today like it's that day. The Lord could come back. It's real, folks. Folks die every day and go to either hell or heaven. That's the reality of what we do. That's why you have to make a difference. That's why you make coffee. That's why you sweep the parking lot. Who led Troy to the Lord? Mike was just the messenger that day. It's all of us working together that make this thing work. If there wasn't childcare, he probably wouldn't have come. If you don't work in the nursery, if you don't work, and people come for all kinds of reasons, it's because we do the things that we do. We make a difference. That's what it's all about. You are not insignificant. When you're on a team that's making a difference, fulfilling the call of God on the church, go into all the world and make a difference. We made a difference in one young man's eternity. We're going to see him again. You're going to see him again because you made a difference in his life. Thank God. Thank God somebody cared enough to take the risk of inviting him to church. Say, well, he might not like me. Well, look, it made a big difference in his life. You're making a difference. We got to just keep on doing what we've been called to do, folks. Nobody has promised tomorrow. What if God used us to make a difference? Last year, 52 people prayed to receive Jesus as Lord in Victory Church. This year, I think it's somewhere around 44. You're making a difference. It's important to make a difference in someone's life. What if you left a mark before you left this place? What if you did something significant? You're not an accident. Be part of a team that's making a difference in children's lives. What a great opportunity to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Youth, we see youth being touched every week. You know what? Even this Christmas, maybe you're going to be around some people that, you know, you're already have anxiety thinking about being around. Maybe you could make a difference. How about, think about this. Maybe you could be a thermostat instead of a thermometer. You know what I mean? A thermometer, it just reflects what the atmosphere is, right? It goes up and down with the temperature. A thermostat sets the temperature. Think about that. This Christmas, maybe God wants to use you to change the atmosphere in the room, because sometimes Christmas can get kind of painful, hurt, things, you know, there can be a lot of tension. What if God wants to use you to be a thermostat, to set, to change the atmosphere around that house, around that place? What are your goals for this leg of your journey? Do you want to leave a mark? Just our heart for the house, that's a legacy. The heart for the house is us taking the opportunity to make a sacrifice and make a decision, pray to God to invest in the young people, invest in this church, because it changes people's eternity. That's a legacy. That's leaving something behind. What are you leaving behind? Look at this, Lamentations 5:21 out of the Message Bible. Bring us back to you, God. We're ready to come back. Give us a fresh start. Maybe you need a fresh start today. Maybe you just need a fresh start. I think all of us always need a fresh start. No matter how hard we try, we always fall short. But I'm so glad God gives us a fresh start. Look at this, Lamentations chapter 3. It says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Yeah. That's every one of us. Only by the grace of God, I'm even here on the planet today. His compassions, look at this, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Praise God. If the sun comes up, there's a new chance to make a fresh start. He can give you a fresh start. Great is your faithfulness. Maybe it's time for you to push the reset button. I had a pastor tell me that one time about a relationship. He said, you know what? You just need to push that reset button. Start over. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, that's a decision you made not to let that be restarted. But you can make a decision. Just push the reset button and start it all over. Do you ever have a computer that wasn't working and you call, hey, this thing, and they say, push the reset, but restart. Happens to our modem all the time. Can't get it working. Say, well, unplug it and let it, and then restart. Somebody have to do with that computer. And what happens when you push the reset button? It wipes the slate clean and gives you a fresh start. Maybe you need to push the reset on your marriage. You say, well, you don't know what we've been. Well, if you want to live like that, then no, nothing's going to change. But if you're willing to put that behind you, push the reset button, wipe the slate clean, and start all over, you have a chance. It might be a relationship. You need to push the reset button. Say, let's just start this whole thing over again. Maybe your vision needs a reset, or your hope, or your calling, or your whole life. You just need to push the reset button. And guess what? The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. It's okay. He'll push the reset button for you every morning if you need to. It's all right. Amen. Relationships without regret. 2 Corinthians 7 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. That's good stuff. And leaves no regret. Are you living in regret? You still have regret? You haven't pushed the reset button. You still got regrets over the past? I'm not saying that everything is just going to work perfectly. No, there's going to be regrets. You got to push the reset. You got to start over again. And what does, if you handle it right, here's what the Bible's saying. If you do it right, we'll get rid of the regret. Godly sorrow leads to repentance and leaves no regret. Doesn't mean that weren't some mistakes made, that there wasn't a mess, that something bad. It says, I'm going to clean up the mess for you so you can just get a new start. I mean, new start. I think we all need a new start. He leaves no regret. But look at the other side, but worldly sorrow, if you don't handle it right, worldly sorrow just brings death. Worldly sorrow brings death. If you stay in the land of regret, it will destroy you. It will keep you from being what God created you to be. And it'll bring death. Death to the vision, death to the hope, death to the call, and even ultimate death. It'll make you sick. You get sick if you're not getting refreshed, if you're not getting the restart, if you're not getting free, it'll kill you. It will destroy you. So, you can live a life without regret. And I want to give you four things to do to help you in this. In order to set a new path for relationships without regret, I'm going to ask you to attempt to do four things. Number one, set a God-first priority. Be sure that God is first in your priorities, plans, and purposes. This is very, very important. It seems fundamental, it seems easy, but I can tell you it's not that easy. And if I asked everybody what's number one in your life, everybody say God. But if we look at the structure of our life, sometimes it's not. And Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 22. Somebody asked him, teacher, what's the great law and the commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he said, put God first. And I saw something in this because, we understand, okay, God first, that's the first commandment. And then Jesus wouldn't stop there. He said, okay, but the rest of the picture is how to deal with, I've always looked at it, God first, okay, and then always just emphasize that others, the others. I saw something very interesting this week that jumped out at me. He put me second. God first, others as you love yourself. I'm in the number two. That's the big test of life, is that we want to be number one, and we want God to help us be number one. Come on, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good. Now, that's what happens. Come on, really, some of our prayers is, God, why aren't you helping me do this and do that? But maybe we just need to turn it all around and just kind of like throw it all on the table and just say, you know what? I don't know if I've got any of this straightened out, Lord. Let's just do it your way. Let's just put you first instead of me first. And, we learn to use faith to get God to do what we want to do. And it's really all about us being number one. Is God first and me second? That's an important transition to make. Here's number two, invest in relationships. Number one, you got to get the priorities straight. And number two, you got to invest in relationships. They don't just happen, and they're not easy. Relationships are messy and they're hard because we're all messed up. We've all got baggage from the past. We've all been hurt. There's a devil loose who hurts us and takes everything everybody says, twists it, and pushes our buttons. It's not easy, but God's called us to relationships. This is how it works. He knew we would be fine just being little islands by ourselves, and we'd just be a whole big mess and wouldn't do anybody any good. And he required us to have relationships with one another. You're going to have to invest in relationships. Make a conscious decision to invest in some important relationships. Let God direct you in your relationships. There's some you need to cut off because they're not good relationships. There's some you need to invest in. There's some that you need to create and invest in those. And let me give you just two keys on how to invest in, or three keys, invest in relationships. Number one, be intentional. It ain't just going to happen. Be led by the Holy Spirit, direct you to invest in a particular relationship. Be intentional. Number two, you're going to have to put time into it. It will not happen without time. It will cost you time. And number three, stick with it. Yeah. Stick with it, because God's working on patience and persistence in us. Mm-hmm. That will be the hard part, sticking with it. And back to our four things. Number three is to make a difference, to learn to turn regrets into a positive thing. Number three, start now. You have to start now, not next week, not the first of the year, right now. Start now. 1 John 3 says, let us stop saying we love each other. Let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. How? Let me give you some keys to that. When you think something good, say it. The devil will fight you. Oh, don't say it. No, if you think something good, just say it. Just say it. If somebody looks, good today, or you like what they're wearing, or you just got a little compliment, just if you think something good, say it. Everyone has some good traits. We got bad traits too. But don't you feel good when somebody, there's a lot of things we could pick on each other about, but there's always something you could compliment. Let's just take more opportunities to encourage one another. Everyone has something that you could compliment. Look for something to praise. The next thing is, when you think something special, do it. I say, I've missed this one a lot of times. I think about doing something, then I try to reason it. And then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess that's God. And it's like the opportunity is gone. you know, just quickly filter it. Is this God or the devil, you know? Is this just me and my flesh? Is this something good that I could do for, you know, just take, step out. When you think something special to do, just do it. You seldom get another shot at it. Just do it. And then the next thing is, when you want something different, be it. When you want joy in a relationship, bring it. Yeah. If you want peace, be it. If you want kindness, do it. If you want love, initiate it. All right, and number four on our list is four, keep no record of wrongs. This is probably the most challenging one and probably the most important one. And we'll wrap up. We'll kind of spend the rest of our time talking about this one. Keep no record of wrongs. It's a tough one. It's probably the most important. Keeping a record of wrongs is like, I looked at it like this. It's like driving while you're watching a video on your iPhone. It's keeping a record of wrongs. You're just thinking about that. And what happens is you can't see where you're headed. You can't see where God wants to take you because, you know, can you drive like that? Some people try it. Yeah. There was a lady in Walmart tried it a couple months ago. I love Walmart. How many of you love Walmart? And Publix, all you Publix people. There's only three stores I need in the whole world. Walmart, Lowe's, and Publix. That's it. Well, I lied. Maybe Tractor Supply. Okay, I need Tractor Supply. They have some things. That's it. And I'm going into Walmart. I always go in the garden entrance over there, you know. I don't like that front entrance. Too many people coming in now. That's crazy. So I go in the garden entrance. There's a little crosswalk, you know. So I'm standing at the crosswalk, and the lady pulls up in a van, and there's a stop sign there. And she stops. So I'm thinking she's going to stop. So I start walking, and fortunately, I looked up. Here she comes. Man, she's barreling. And it's like I just step back, and she went. I mean, this close, right by me. And as she went by, I looked. She had her phone like this. She was driving like this. She was looking at her, and she was accelerating. She was moving, man. If I didn't have ninja-like reflexes. It was history, folks. A dark spot in front of Walmart. I'd have been done. That'd be a good place to die because I love Walmart. But I wasn't ready to die. I wasn't ready to go right then. There's still more stuff for me to do. But she was clueless. She never even saw me because she was looking at her phone while she was driving. If it had been a normal person, would have been dead. I mean, imagine if just a kid had been walking by, or an old person, or somebody without those kind of reflexes, you know, moved, boom, dead. Why? She's not paying attention. She's looking at her phone. She could have killed somebody. If she keeps doing that, something bad is going to happen to her, her van, her kids, somebody else. And that's the way a lot of us live life. We're still checking out those mistakes. We're still reading the record of wrongs. Yeah, they did that. And then don't forget, and the more you think about it, the more things you remember that they did to you. When you keep a record of wrongs, you never run out of wrongs. It just, the list gets longer, it gets more hurtful, it gets more painful. The more you rehash it, the deeper it goes, the stronger it gets, the longer. It's driving, watching your phone, and we're going to run into something and have a wreck, and somebody's going to get hurt, and it's going to be a big mess. That's what happens when you keep a record of wrongs. You say, yeah, but, I know, yeah, but, I know they did, I know all the bad things. I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about getting free. I'm talking about going forward. I'm talking about fulfilling your destiny. It's keeping you from fulfilling your destiny and the call that's on your life. It's not a good thing. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. I'm going to hold you to your own standard. Your success is vitally linked to your ability to erase the screen. So when you look at it, nothing there. You go to pull up all those wrongs, and it's like, where'd they all go? It's a decision that you have to make to hit the reset button. It wipes the screen, and it's gone. So, you know, did you ever lose a document? Well, I remember when computers first came out, you know, you had to always hit save. And I remember one time I created this whole great big document, and there was like this little power circle, you know, bloop. It's like, oh, certainly it's right. It's got to be. It wasn't. It's gone. Cyber heaven disappeared into the universe. I don't know where it went. I was mad. Yeah? But some of you need to do the same thing to your computer, to your life, to your screen. You need to wipe the screen clean. In fact, we need to do that every day. Just wipe the whole screen clean. It just starts off fresh. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's talk about love. Love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrong. You got to erase the board every morning. I used to teach at a school in Hollywood called United College of Business, and we were so excited. This is in the 80s. They came out, and they had two campuses, Santa Monica. Santa Monica, I taught at night, and they had blackboards. Anybody remember blackboards? Chalk. Oh, yeah, man, you should get hazardous duty pay for using chalk. That's so messy. Your hands are, this stuff's all over the place. You scratch your nails on the chalk, makes that noise. Oh, chalkboards are terrible. Well, over at the Hollywood campus, they came out this new invention called the whiteboard. Oh, I would take a cut and pay just to work over there to use the whiteboards, and they gave you the dry erase markers. And well, you're teaching accounting, you're doing a lot. You erase that. You just erase it. It's so, you can write, erase that. It's clean. It's not, oh man, whiteboards. Can I hear it for whiteboards? Well, something happened one night in my class. I come in the next morning, and the whiteboard didn't look the same. I touched it, and instead of, it was like rough. Well, what happened? Come to find out, they had a new custodian, and he used some kind of harsh abrasive chemical and removed that top coat, that clear coat layer that the dry erase marker sat on that you could wipe off. And I'm like, this is something weird here, but we've got to teach class. And I started writing. I did my first fill up the board and ready to go the second time. It's like, it wouldn't come off. It wouldn't come off. So I had to work around it. And all the other classes that day, the next morning I come in and there's like five classes worth of stuff stuck on this board. And it's like, this board is useless. I can't even use it anymore. There's just, you know, not just good stuff like accounting. Now there's typing assignments and, you know, weird stuff, math equations and bad, you know, other subjects besides accounting. It's just all over the board. And we all went to the head guy and was like, we can't use this board anymore. You can't use it anymore. It can't be cleaned. Some of us were like that. That's the way our board is. It holds everything. And it gets so clogged up, you can't sort stuff out anymore. You can't even use the board anymore. It's too full of the junk from yesterday. Just one day, the board was useless. Imagine, some of us have been holding stuff for years. It's all clogged up. It's confusing. No. You got to wipe that board every morning. That's why his mercies are new every morning. That's why David said, I get up early and I seek the Lord and I wipe the board. You got to wipe the board clean, folks. You just can't live with all the stuff from just yesterday is too much to hang on to. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. You have to cover all those wrongs. You have to erase that board. You have to set the prisoner free. That's what happens when you forgive. It sets a prisoner free, only to find out you were the prisoner that got set free. Psalm 130 puts it this way, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who could ever survive? Aren't you glad God wipes your sins away? Amen. Aren't you glad he doesn't sit you down every morning and go, oh, yeah, remember when you were four? And wait, what about when you were five? Oh, well, then, hey, a minute, wait, we're still getting to 13. Oh, when we get to, you know, no, God doesn't do that. He wipes it clean. You got to do that to other people, too. You got to wipe it clean. Aren't you glad God erases your screen every day? Yes. Are there some people you're going to see this Christmas that you still got writing on the board? Are there some people you need to start erasing the board today? People in your family? Still writing on your board? People at work? You got writing on your board. People in your home, people in your family. It's usually the people closest to you that you're in most contact that stuff starts just getting written on the board. Could be your kids, could be your parents, could be your husband, could be your wife, could be someone that you told them one time that you really loved them, but you're still writing stuff on the board. Aren't you glad God erases your board? Let's start erasing our board. setting others free and not letting that. Is there anyone in your life? We're just bringing this all down. We're talking about this to get us free at the end of the year, coming into the holidays. You know, we meet a lot of people that bring up bad memories. What does that mean? That means my board's still got some stuff on it. Why don't you just pray? Let's just bow our head. Let's just start thinking. I'm just talking about reality. This is not about, you know, preaching some great message. This is about us dealing with our own stuff. This is about me and you getting free and being able to live successfully in this life so God could use us. And it starts with checking your board. So a lot of us got boards like that board that I came into work. You couldn't erase. It was just stuck. It was gritty. It was hard. And that dry erase marker became a permanent marker. And there's some of you, you've made some permanent marks on your board. And you said, I'll never forget this. I'll never forgive them. I'm just going to hold on to it. And I want to tell you today that that's the standard that God's going to hold you to. And you don't want to be held to that standard. And you need to just release them. Not because they were good to you. Not because that what they did wasn't wrong. But because you need to go on. Because you need a clean board. You need a clean board. Just like a teacher comes in, needs that clean board. You need a clean board. You need to wipe that slate clean. Only God can do that. He can give you the help right now. And while I'm talking, you're thinking about some stuff that's written on your board that you're holding on to. And I can assure you that the Holy Spirit right now will help you wipe that board clean. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for helping every person in this room wipe that board clean. Clean that board off. Clean that slate. Hit the reset button. And all that's on the screen just disappears. And it comes up a blank screen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just go to God. Just bring it to God. He loves you. He's with you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just erase all those offenses right now. Erase them. Erase them. Not for them, for yourself. Who do you need to forgive? Let's get rid of the if onlys. Maybe there's some if only I had done this, if only I had done, erase, just erase it, start fresh. Don't keep going back, if only I had not made that decision. Just if you're thinking that, if there's stuff, just erase it. It will not help you. It's not helping you. Erase it off your board now. No more regrets. If you've got regrets from the past, just erase it. Take a fresh start. Take a new start. Hit the reset. Keep no record of wrongs. Lord, I thank you for helping people, healing people, helping them forgive and helping them wipe the slate clean. And maybe you're here today, every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you've never really fully surrendered your life to Christ and you need to make that step today. And that's why you're here today. If I asked you if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You say, I don't know. I think so. Hope so. Not sure. That's a very important consequence to not be sure about. You say, but does anybody know? The Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ, you ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. You might be here today and you said, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I need to be and I want a fresh start. I want to hit that reset button. I want a new start with God. If either one of those apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Stay right in your seat. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. I'm in business with God.